We've all heard the story of the three wise men, but you probably haven't heard the story of the three wise women. So if you can imagine with me what might have happened. First thing is, they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and even given practical gifts such as disposable diapers. This isn't meant to offend anyone, but I thought it was funny. So, you know, I'm going to read the second half of it. But this is what they might have said when they left. Did you see the sandals Mary was wearing with that gown? That baby doesn't look anything like Joseph. Can you believe that they let all those disgusting animals in there? I heard Joseph wasn't even working right now. And that donkey they were riding, he'd seen better days. Want to bet how long it'll take to get your casserole dish back? Luke wrote, time to change the subject. That didn't offend anybody, did it? Two or three people? I'll tell you where that came from if you ask me after church. Luke wrote in chapter 4 of his gospel, verses 14 through 16, he said, "Then Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him went out throughout the region. And he was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone." And I think that's interesting that he was being praised by everyone. And no message about a year of Jubilee would be quite complete without that whole passage that is in Luke. And it's in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 30. I would encourage you to take an opportunity sometime this week to read it. When you do your devotions, if you read it every day, I guarantee you'll get something different out of it each time. But if you can imagine yourself sitting in a synagogue, much like we are today in the country of Israel, when Jesus began his ministry, Jesus was a Jew, and as it was each Sabbath, whether it be a Saturday or Sunday, whatever, you know, whatever day it was, to the Jews, the Sabbath is a Saturday. They were sitting in a synagogue and they were worshiping. There were many synagogues in small towns, but only one temple. And so they would gather in the synagogue and worship. And they'd been doing that for 2,000 years. And the president of the assembly, each synagogue had a president, and they would look around for someone that, excuse me, that day to read the passage or read the scripture for the day. And I'm sure as they, you know, were sitting there in the synagogue and those that were in attendance to worship were wondering, is he going to call on me? Don't ask me to pray. Is it my turn to read? Whose turn is it to read? And he was looking at a lot of options, and I'm sure he looked around, and I'm sure he saw Jesus sitting there because he'd been in that community for nearly 30 years, working in the business and the craft that his parents were in. So they knew who he was. They probably had some idea of what he was all about because previous to that, some months earlier, he had disappeared into the countryside. And he had, you know, been gone, and reports were filtering back to his hometown about a religious revival that had taken place on the banks of the Jordan River by a guy by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a pretty fiery guy, a lot more fiery than I am, and a pretty excitable personality, the kind of guy that just didn't deliver a message, but he really delivered the message. And so Jesus had been there and had been, as you remember, baptized. But Jesus had a totally different style of teaching and a totally different style of ministering to people. He had developed a reputation of a quiet talker, a quieter style than John the Baptist. And he just spoke in a lot softer terms. But his message was something different also. It's something different than they had heard in the past, because all they'd ever heard in the past was, you got to follow one of these 632 laws. And so what his message was, it was a fresh message. It was something different. It was alive because it had value to it. It wasn't, you can't do this. But his message was, you can do this. And you can be free. And you can be changed. And you can be radically different. His style being different made him more interesting to listen to. Not the dull teaching of the law that a lot of the synagogue worshipers had heard before. But it was different. It was alive. It was real. And so not only was that the case, but there must have been something different about him, something different about Jesus, because the Bible says in verse 14, and we just read it, that said he was recognized. It said, and news about him spread throughout the whole region. So they recognized who this man Jesus was. And it says he was teaching in their synagogues and being praised by everyone. And not that much later, about 3 years later, we're going to find out that those same people turned on him. Those same Jews that were sitting there enjoying and getting something out of this fresh, vibrant, alive, interesting message are the same ones that was going to crucify him. But in the synagogue, as they were standing there looking around, and the present looking around, and each person sitting there looking at each other, is it I? Am I the one that's going to have to read? Am I the one that was going to have to, you know, say the message? And Jesus was there as a, not really as a, as an observer, but he was there participating in worship. He was a participator. Kind of a good message today. You know, in a lot of churches, a lot of church services, they become nothing more than a club meeting, or nothing more than a social gathering, or nothing more than a bunch of people getting together. But church is meant to be an encounter with the Almighty God. Not just on Sunday, but this is what the purpose of this is today. So this really is what, in my mind, forms the basis for a message about our year of Jubilee. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is a year of Jubilee for Ross Community Church. Now, I don't need to believe that by myself. I need you all to believe it with me. Because it's not done by one person, but it's done by the corporate body of Christ. It's going to take some effort. Nothing that we do that doesn't take effort, honestly, is worth doing. You know, for the person that things come natural to them and there's no effort, there's no reward. But the reward comes from the effort. In order for everything to come to pass in this year, we need to be in agreement. We need to be of one mind and of one heart. I know there may be some things that concern you. There may be some things that bother you about someone else that's here. If that's the case, let me make a suggestion. Pray for the situation. But the situation could change. Pray for the person involved. Here's the tough one. Pray that your heart's right. Because we need to shed, and somebody said it this morning in class, is we need to shed the negative attitudes. And we need to shed the negative stuff that drags us down. And there will be very few things that ever drag me down. And I do everything that I can in my mind and in my heart and in my ability to think about the positive. If we're not together, we're in the wilderness. And that's just exactly what happened to the children of Israel. When they decided not to follow God and they decided to go down their own path, they were what? In the wilderness. It could have been a real short trip into the promised land, but they decided to take the wilderness route and decided to take that route. We may actually find out that what I thought was so critically wrong with someone else or some other situation may be an opportunity to grow in grace with what God has given us in that ability. I'll assure you one thing. Nothing's perfect. There's no perfect churches. If you find one, let me know. But I don't think you'll find it. Someone once said, and I've said it before, somebody said it, the only thing wrong with the church is people. You know, we're flawed. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes. I am the chief mistake maker. I will admit that. So sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness alone. And that's when it's time to get back down on our knees and do some praying and do some talking. I paraphrase something that John Wesley might have said. We will see perfection when we see the perfect one. Otherwise, all we can do is strive for it and look for it and try to achieve it. But we are a bunch of Christians that are in the process of arriving, but we haven't arrived. In the year of Jubilee, we will see God multiplying His blessings upon you, upon our church, and upon me. Because I'm expecting that. I'm not expecting for God to add. I'm expecting for God to multiply. And I believe it'll happen. Everything that we do, God will multiply the results and will bless it. What we have seen in the past and we've been fighting for, and we see a prayer need and we have a prayer and we have a concern and we pray about it and we may forget about it. We have an awesome group of people in this church called a prayer chain. And the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, it doesn't get any better than that of having someone pray for you. Someone told me this morning, I haven't prayed for myself for a long time, and if I was going through what they were going through, I'd be praying for myself too. But that's what, you know, that's what people are for, and that's what we're here for. And so part of that year of Jubilee is to reach out to others. We don't have to know all the details. It can be a need, and you can share it with me. You can share it with Vicki. You can run it through Emily, however you want to do it. But we'll put it on the prayer chain as an anonymous need if you would prefer it that way. We don't have a problem. But the corporate prayer of a church will bring about results. And I want you to hear, the bigger the battle, and sometimes there are some bigger battles out there, the bigger our destiny will be. No matter what we're fighting, the bigger it is, the bigger our destiny will be. And as someone once said, we don't need to be talking about how bad our problems are, how big our problems are. We need to be talking about how big our God is. And so that's the idea of the corporate prayer and getting results. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to carry, and this is from the Amplified, but is he, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. That's infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work in us. What he's saying there is that whatever we need, we ask for it, because God is able to super abundantly provide an answer and provide results for us. He's got us in the palm of his hand. All we really need to realize is, when we stop and we really think about it, is that we are children of the Most High God. We are children of a God that was and always was, is and always will be, in the palm of his hand. And if he can hold us in the palm of his hand, he can do anything. 1 Chronicles 28:20 says that David said to his son Solomon, "You need to be strong. Stay strong, be courageous, stay in courage, and take action." When we take action, that's what activates God to go to work. And I thought about when they were leaving the Egyptian rule in the Old Testament, and they walked down to the Red Sea, and I'm sure that all the priests and everybody are standing there saying, "How are we going to get across?" And we remember the story that God parted the Red Sea, but you know what? He didn't part that Red Sea until the priest did one thing. They stepped into the water. They had to take action. God's not going to do nothing if we don't expect it or we don't feel that he needs it. He goes on to say, "Fear the Lord," not out of fear, but out of a reverent respect for him. Hadn't been that long ago, I did a message on taking the limits off of God. And that's what we need to do in this year of Jubilee. It's going to take courage. It's going to take motivation. It's going to take effort. It's going to take prayer. But it's all up to us to see what God can do in 2017. We may have been troubled by things that happened in 2016, but that's past. Every day is new. And that's what I'm looking for in this year, as far as I'm looking at this church. We bought 150 chairs when we remodeled. Don't take this too hard, but God didn't direct us to buy 150 chairs to have 65 to 85 people sit in them on Sunday. He didn't do it. I'll argue with anybody about that one. He wants us to put forth some effort. And Nancy said it so well about kindness. And kindness says, "I missed someone there. Let me give them a call." And I've had people call me that, you know, needing a phone number for someone. We are going to start making a list on a weekly basis of people that haven't been here. And I'm going to ask Emily if she will make a phone call to some people here in the church and say, "Can you call these three people and tell them we missed them?" They're going to take effort. Some people it will be. Some people it won't take any effort at all. But I really believe there's 150 chairs. We ought to fill 150 chairs a couple times on a Sunday morning. Do I want to do this twice on Sunday morning? You bet I do. Not to hear me. It's what we're doing for the kingdom. It's what we're doing for God. It's what he wants us to do. Isaiah 3:10 says, "Say to the righteous," those are the ones that believe, the ones in faith, "it will be well with you. You will see the fruit of your doings," or rather, "you will see the results of what you have sown." And when I read that, thought went through my mind, what have we sown in 2016? What was the seed that we sowed? What's going to be the seed that we sow What's going to be the seed that we sow in 2017? What's our expectations? I believe it's going to be a year of resurrection. You've heard me use that term a lot. But I believe people's finances are going to be resurrected. I believe people's families are going to be resurrected. I believe relationships are going to be resurrected. I believe spirits are going to be resurrected. I believe our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to find new meaning because we're willing to sow different seed in 2017 than what we sowed in 2016. It happens by effort. 2016, we reached our attendance goal. We reached our goal for people joining in the church, or we reached our goal for people being in small groups. We reached a goal of something else, and I can't remember what it was, of our efforts to get people involved in mission work. I mean, that's a significant result. But it's not about numbers. It's nice to be able to report good results, I'll tell you. I hate to be the poor schlep at the bottom of the list. But it's not about that. It's about who's finding resurrection, who's finding relationship, who's finding new life. We need to forgive, we need to forget. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. To be our year of Jubilee, we got to be in one accord. You can't let little things that go on bother us. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do I enter church with the thought that I'm actually coming into the presence of God? Is he really here? Is he part of it? He's chosen the yes things strange ways. He chooses the powerless to do great things. It's amazing what he can do. So what can we do to bring about a year of Jubilee at Ross Community Church and find God's favor? What's our responsibility as a Christian? First thing is, the church is called to reflect Jesus Christ in the world. That's the very first thing that we are called to do. It's the same message that the prophets had in Israel. It is that God loves you. God shows us mercy. God shows us hope. He shows us truth. Somebody said he shows us justice, but I don't want his justice. I want his mercy. Somebody else can have his justice. We must live consistent lives with the gospel as Christ followers and Christ ambassadors. We must present Christ as the Savior, as the one that cares about humanity. That's what it's all about. We need to pray for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of the country. We may not like them, but that's not a requirement. The requirement is we pray for them. Sometimes that's kind of hard. We need to give practical help to the disadvantaged, and we do a great job of that. When John Wesley visited his congregation, it said he would question his assistants as to their progress in the faith. He would often ask if their Christianity affected their pockets. He'd often ask that question. And it's not necessarily a financial pocket, but it's a pocket to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, "Hey, I missed you. Is everything okay?" I've been trying to get a hold of these six ladies here for a month, and I haven't had any success. Three rings and it goes to a fax line. I'm not sure what happened. I'm going to find out. Because Ray and I had a conversation about it. We're going to find out. Jesus announced that year of Jubilee as an opportunity for a fresh start. He said, "It is fulfilled. I'm your fresh start if you'll only take it." Jesus came with a message to provide liberty, to provide freedom, to provide deliverance. And that's really what an age of Jubilee is. The scripture that was read by Phil talked about forgiving slaves and freeing slaves and forgiving debt and giving back property that had been taken or been purchased. And that's really what Jubilee is about to the recipient. But Jubilee can be an awesome thing to the giver, to the person who's willing to step out and do that. When Jesus read from the passage, he ended with the words, "The year of the Lord's favor." But if you go back and read Isaiah 61, it ends, it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." Jesus didn't read that because the end had not yet come. The vengeance of our God is going to come at the second coming. So he left that sentence out. Somebody put something on Facebook this week, and I read it and I shared it, and I thought it was just tremendous. Before you step into 2017, be sure to cancel your subscriptions to other people's drama and negativity. My niece has, her and her husband have three kids. And their middle daughter, I swear, is the most beautiful kid I have ever seen. Next to you, Olivia. She got long, dark eyelashes. I told her, I said, "Those are beautiful." She doesn't like them. Her dad says, "See, Kaylee, I've been trying to tell you that." But she was a cheerleader. She's 13 years old. She quit being a cheerleader because she didn't like the drama of a bunch of 13-year-olds. And so what I am saying in ending here this year, that if you have not had the best 2016 that you really ever hope to ever have, 2017 will be, I'm not saying can, I'm saying will be your year, our year, my year of Jubilee. God has so much out there that he just wants us to get involved in and absorbed into. So many people that would just love to have somebody say, "Is there anything I can pray for you? What can we do for you? Do you have a need?" In closing, I delivered Christmas gifts. We had one family that couldn't come. And we've all heard the word deplorable in the last, 4 or 5 months. This was the most deplorable living conditions I have ever seen. And a lot of churches, I don't want to say this, I think we have to help people help themselves. But I think we can help people help themselves if we offer them a meal, if we can offer them a heart, if we can offer them hope. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do, is to be that hope, be that meal. Be that person that picks up the phone and calls somebody and says, "Hey, I've been missing." You know, we're open every Sunday. We're open every Thursday. So, look forward to 2017 with a greater expectation, a greater hope, a greater level of faith. Pray for opportunities to share with people. And believe that my year of Jubilee is going to be so much better than what my year of not Jubilee was. And I'll tell you, with all the, and I put it on Facebook, all the stuff I went through in 2016, it was still a good year. Because I don't have a bad year. And so that's, I think, the attitude that we need to take. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the year of Jubilee, the year that things can change, resurrection can take place, healing can take place, new birth can take place, growth can take place, mercy can take place, forgiveness can take place, because we have opened our hearts to a God that loves us and said, that's the way I took you. So, Father, we thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.